So Canada, huh?
Yeah.
Bet it was cold.
Yes, Canada. It was a frozen wasteland, and there was much work to be done to survive the elements. After building an igloo from the ice, we gathered around to hear the natives tell the story of the great moose, who said to the squirrel, "Hey, Rock, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat."
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 25th, 2010. This is Michael Minotti, and I am joined finally by my brother, Raj Guy.
I'm back.
Yes, he's back from his month-long excursion into Canada. Do you have anything to say about that?
Canada's a lovely country.
That's fantastic. Mark will be happy to hear that.
I never had Mark any Canadian bacon, and I didn't see any moose. Although, poutine? You guys have been, like, hiding this from the world. Poutine is awesome.
What's poutine?
It's like gravy fries with cheese curd and some kind of spice that I can't quite identify.
All right, then. Anyways, moving on. Not that this Canada talk is not fascinating. So, welcome to our show today. This is kind of an AJ catch-up episode in a way. We'll start with the news. No quiz. Then we're just going to go into a kind of a let's-go topical AJ catch-up version.
Yes.
when it slots in some of the sort of bigger announcements and whatnot that have been going on in his absence. Then after that, we'll talk about what we've been playing. I can't imagine that's very much for you, huh?
You'd be surprised.
Oh, man. Oh, I could foresee a lot of crappy iPhone games coming.
iPad, but... And they're not crappy.
Oh, God. Then we will do the releases, and that'll be it. So, let's get going with this news here.
Okay. So first we have reports that Tim Schafer is working on 4 games right now out of Double Fine. And they're all, like, a go. There's not, like, concept.
One of them is definitely not Brutal Legends 2, though.
Yes.
Which apparently did not sell well enough to
which is a shame.
Yeah. I still haven't played it.
You're a jerk.
I know.
That game's so good.
You think... No, 4 games. You have to imagine some of these are going to be downloadable.
Yeah, they're not going to be 4 full-blown.
I don't think they're all like that.
Who knows?
I'm kind of annoyed that, like, all these great kind of game creators, like, I don't want to say are, you know, like, belittled to or whatnot, but... You know, that's kind of like your thing now. Is why we're going to make these download games because they're sort of cheap.
Well, it's what it is. Is the games that these guys want to make, the kind of higher concept games, aren't going to sell to a mass market right now. They're busy playing Call of Duty.
Right. And I understand why. I still think it's kind of a shame. Right. All right.
It looks like 1 versus 100 isn't going to happen anymore.
Oh, well, it's canceled.
Yes.
So, not so much it looks like, but it is.
Oh, yeah. It's a bummer because I thought it was really cool. It worked really well. From the rumblings on the inside, it seems like it was really a case of mismanagement and a lack of a way of figuring out how to monetize it properly, even though they had ads sold in the game. Also, some people are suspecting that after the game's success, the licensing fees have gone up and Microsoft just said the heck with it. The good news is the underlying technology is going to be used to create future original programming.
Well, I hope so.
Yes. Have you downloaded this yet? Because I need to.
Alien Swarm?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so Valve, like, it was an Unreal mod, and now it's a source-powered game, and Valve just released it for free. And, like, with all the modding tools and everything.
I remember hearing about this way back when it was new.
Yeah, I played the mod. It's basically, like, almost a twin-stick shooter.
It's like Smash TV?
Yeah, I guess that's a good way of putting it. With, you know, with aliens.
It's kind of neat. I think that's an underutilized kind of... Like, I would like to see a game that's basically Left 4 Dead, but, like... A twin-stick shooter,
mm-hmm.
Which I'll say this might be.
Yes. Good news for our Canadian friends. Netflix is coming this fall.
To Canada?
Yes.
Though they never had Netflix before.
No. Mark bitches about it all the time.
Well, he'll get... Man, look at this. We've already mentioned Mark twice in this show.
I know.
It's a good episode. Like, you know, isn't that sad, though? Like, we have to talk about Canada this week, so it's just going to be, hey... Mark and Lynette are from there.
Pretty much. Oh, boy. October 26th is the day we will be rocking out with Rock Band 3.
They announced a song for Rock Band 3 that I am very excited about.
And what is that, Mike?
Cold as Ice by Foreigner.
I'm kind of excited for Rock Lobster.
Screw that. You're as cold as ice. Dun, dun, dun. It's great. All right, yes. Please move on.
There's a couple pre-order bonuses, too. If you pre-order at GameStop, you get a free song downloads. If you pre-order at Amazon, exclusive in-game guitar. Walmart.com gets you a $10 e-gift card.
Remember, like, the first year of the show? Mm-hmm. Every single week in the news, you would talk about what new, like, tracks came out.
Well, that's, when I didn't realize they were going to be so consistent with it.
I just want you to know that I just about wanted to murder you.
Ah, that's fair enough.
I was so sick of music games just in every facet and form imaginable.
I'm sorry. Tiger Woods' PGA Tour sales are down, and some are saying perhaps forever.
I
don't think... Of course, they're trying to blame it on the Tiger Woods scandal. I think it's just the fact that, honestly, this game has not changed much in 10 years.
Okay, then... But oh, come on. It can't be... You're saying it's just a coincidence that as soon as Tiger Woods' personal stock goes down,
well, they're also
game,
saying,
which is branded entirely around him.
The other thing to keep in mind, too, is last year kind of saw a surge in sales because of the Wii Motion Plus inclusion with the game.
Okay, yeah, I understand, but I still think that hurts. Your cover athlete doesn't just have to be good. He has to be likable.
I guess.
Drew Brees. Incredibly likable guy. Madden cover guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Is he the best quarterback in the NFL right now? Probably not.
But, like, what other golfer is going to sell a game right now?
Well, I understand that.
It might just be better PGA show to go tour. Back. Yeah, just a PGA Tour and done
it's,
with
it's
it.
Hard. I don't know.
Honestly, it saved them money. They don't have to pay licensing fees to Tiger.
That's true. And it's a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. What's supposed to be new and noteworthy about 11 this year? Anyway?
You know, I heard very little about 11
in general.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, who even knows?
Hmm.
I think that's a series that's prime time for a big revamp.
I guess.
Warren Spector's going to keynote PAX, your best friend.
Man, I got to talk to Warren Spector, like, in a small room. So, yeah. I don't need a keynote. He's an awesome guy, though. He's just from, you know, kind of like the more... smaller, intimate setting we had. He's a great speaker, very engaging. I'm sure that'll be a great keynote.
Kurt Schilling's mysterious RPG has been revealed. It is called Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Yeah. Revenge of the Plague Lords.
Art's been done.
Grips of the Unknown Fowl.
What?
The Unknown Fowl.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I like turning foul into a noun. Wait, one second.
What?
I need to write that down.
The Crypt of the Unknown Foul. Wait, how are you spelling foul? Is it like a chicken?
Wait, now you can think.
Now he's not so sure.
No, it's like the penalty. The Crypt of the Unknown.
Oh, come on. Moving on.
I just named an RPG. Seriously, I can't stand these names. You gotta when I go into the fantasy section of a book, so I just cringe. I just can't help it. I just look at these names like, oh, god damn it. But
that's the greatest thing ever. Okay. Anyway, Todd McFarlane's doing the art and Ari Salvatore's doing the writing.
Oh, wow. Whoa, you blue ball? Yeah, Todd McFarlane, the Spawn guy. What did a Spawn last roll did, by the way?
Spawn? Anyway.
Todd McFarlane's been riding that gravy train for a long time, hasn't he?
Ken Rolston, who is the lead designer in Oblivion and Morrowind, is also the lead designer on this.
Fantastic.
I always thought it was an MMO, though, but I think it's just an RPG.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they would say if it was an MMO.
Yeah. All right. Everyone brace yourselves. The Kinect is $150.
Shocking.
Yeah. I honestly thought they might go for $99, but whatever.
Wrong!
Yeah.
Wrong.
Are you...
I'll tell you this right now. I'm not getting a Kinect.
I am.
I know you are. I'd have no need for one.
Well, it comes with Kinect Adventures.
Oh. You know what? Kinect Adventures. So, you jump around to kind of avoid obstacles and stuff, right? Basically. You move and jump.
Kind of, yeah.
Power mat. It's the goddamn power mat.
Hey, that thing was fun.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
How many times did you use the power mat?
Oh, your kids all the time.
Oh, you think you used it all the time.
Pretty sure I did.
You did not.
I remember what my original NES setup looked like.
Connected. Come, You know what? There's, I was trying to, whatever, just go on. I'm curious. Okay.
In addition to that, they're doing a $300 bundle of the new arcade version of the 360, which has 4 gigabytes of flash memory on it, along with a Kinect.
How much is a Wii right now, $200?
Yeah.
You really think that with Kinect itself being $150, that they're going to be able to compete with that?
The justification I saw, and it kind of makes sense.
Oh, God, here we go. Is this like their table thing? Like, I always love when people release these tables, like, look at the things our system does that the other ones
don't. No, it's not Microsoft's. It's like a lot of like analysts and stuff are saying this, and I agree with it. You know, people bought how many plastic instruments for like $100 a pop for use in one game, and now they're not doing anything with them.
Well, that was kind of a fad of its own.
Yeah,
right?
But, you know, $150 for something that's going to work for a whole bunch of games.
You apologize.
I know.
You'll see.
I want to believe.
When was the last time you wanted to believe? I know what it was. It was the PSP Go.
Yeah.
So.
Did you see the Kevin Butler ripoff?
Yeah. Basically, someone just entirely copied the montage Kevin Butler commercial for like some like movie marathon thing in New Zealand.
We caught you.
Yeah, but, you know, that's that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you see this? This is really cool.
Yeah, I heard about this.
So Sony has a patent out for what they're calling...
Let's just keep talking about this without saying what it is and talk about how cool it is. I think this is awesome.
I know. I've been wanting this for a long time.
This might change everything.
I'll get to why this is cool because it goes back to a childhood fantasy of mine. But hang on. Let me explain it.
Hey, to who? Oh, podcasts. I thought we were just sitting around here talking to each other. Whoops.
Anyway, So Sony has a patent out that would use stereoscopic 3D to not do 3D, but rather, like, instead of each individual eye seeing something different, player one gets one set of glasses, player two gets another, so that they see their own view. So instead of the game being in split screen, each player gets a full screen.
It's like super split screen.
Yeah.
You're, like, kind of splitting the screen, but you're splitting, like, the timeshare of the screen. You get it for, like, 1/10 of a second. I'll get it for the next 10th of a second.
Exactly.
And so on and so forth.
Now, this is why I think this is cool. Remember in Mortal Kombat 3, Reptile can turn invisible, but that meant you also couldn't see Reptile?
Oh, my God.
I always wanted a way for the person playing to still be able to see themselves. And now we can do it.
The most expensive solution for you to be able to see yourself as Reptile I've ever heard of.
I didn't say it was elegant, but it's there.
Finally.
Yes.
We have the technology.
Yes, we do.
I got this.
Okay.
So Comic-Con got some character announcements for Marvel's Capcom 3. We had 4 at first, and then 2 other ones were announced. So we got Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Doom's a favorite for Marvel's Capcom 3. He's top tier.
That's not a surprise.
Super Skrull.
Who is Super Skrull?
I don't know what he is storyline-wise, but what he is... Well, Skrulls are kind of aliens, and they're kind of shapeshifters.
Okay.
There was a big storyline not too long ago called Invasion, where Skrulls came in and were imitating random people, and like everyone wasn't sure who was a Skrull and who wasn't. Like, Iron Man thought maybe he was a Skrull, like they even know. But Super Skrull has the abilities of every member of the Fantastic Four.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of neat. It kind of also solves the problem, like, well, we can't have all the Fantastic Four in here.
Right.
Trish.
She's that chick from Devil May Cry, right?
Right. And I'm kind of surprised that with a 30-person roster, like, what they're aiming for, they're going to have 2 characters from Devil May Cry. But, you know, whatever. And Chun-Li.
Not shocking.
Right. Chun-Li you're going to have. If you're going to have 2 Street Fighter characters, it's probably going to be Chun-Li and Ryu. Now, then later we got Thor.
Yes!
Makes me very happy that we finally got Thor. And
Amaterasu.
Okami.
Yes.
Okami Wolf
Thing. Are 2 fantastic characters.
Yeah, those are 2 pretty... Like, I was kind of underwhelmed by the 4 just because 2 of them were obvious and 2 seemed a little weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
But those two, oof. I mean, Thor had to happen. But, yes. Like, always in my mind, I'm like, what if they're dumb and don't?
Yeah.
But it's funny because, like, I saw a video where the person picked Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor on their team. And in the start, Iron Man was like, Avengers Assemble.
Yeah. Really? Oh, man.
It's going to be pretty sweet. Oh, also, there's new silhouettes and whatnot. And one of them is very, very clearly Beautiful Joe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we can say pretty safely Beautiful Joe being scared. Okay, I'm telling you, though, they got to get Phoenix right in there. Now that I know they're willing to go slightly obscure.
Yeah, like, Amaterasu.
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Come on. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Have you seen Amaterasu fight? And then
no. Pretty cool. Oh, that's awesome. We also got that Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy are doing Batman and Joker for DC Universe Online.
I thought he was like, I'm never doing Joker again. I guess he
said
already.
That. Yeah, they'd already recorded this stuff when he'd said that.
Fair enough.
Yes. But that's cool.
Oh, wait, what's this? You can rent Godzilla 2000 on PlayStation Store for free?
Yeah.
For how long?
I don't know. It's just maybe done already?
I hope not. I'm just looking at your Google Reader. Sorry. Yeah. Keep going. Ignore me.
Netflix and PS3 will be discless by October.
That is nice. What's this? Okay, this is interesting because apparently Legends of a Skyward Sword takes place before Ocarina.
This pisses me off, this article.
Now, well, for a long time, Nintendo was saying there was no Zelda timeline, and now all of a sudden there is again.
But it's... Okay, this is the quote from... who is this now who said this? E.G. Anunamura?
Anamora?
The
Zelda guy. There's no R.
Yeah,
the Zelda guy.
This is what he says. This pisses me off. Yes, there is a master timeline, but it's confidential document. The only people to have access to that document are myself, Mr. Miyamoto, and the director of the title. We can't share with anyone else.
That's the big secret.
Exactly! Fuck you! Who cares? Well, no, this is his justification. I've already talked to Mr. Miyamoto about this, so I'm comfortable releasing this information. This title, Skyward Sword, takes place before Ocarina of Time. If I said that a certain title was the first Zelda game, then that means we can't ever make a title that takes place before that. So for us to add titles to the series, we have to have a way of putting titles before or after each other.
Why can't...
No, it doesn't! There's no numbers!
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's so stupid.
Well, the Zelda timeline I always understood, the very earliest one was Minish Cap.
Yes.
But after that was Ocarina of Time. So now this one is, I'm assuming...
It's a confidential document. Fuck you.
Right.
Like, the story matters so much in Zelda.
They need to exploit that more, because in Wind Waker, it was awesome that it very clearly stated, this takes place not too long after Ocarina of Time.
After, like, the apocalypse.
Right. The water apocalypse.
Yes. Anyway, the Sly Collection will be in 3D for all three games.
Now, why were they saying this wasn't the case or so?
Because the third game already had 3D in it, so it was, like, already done. And I guess, I don't know if it's a result of people bitching or what, but it's going to be done in all three.
Well, there you go, then.
They're doing a $400 Halo Reach Xbox 360 bundle.
I like the way the crazy controller looks.
Yeah, it looks very nice.
I like controller. I kind of like that weird sort of, I don't know what you would call that.
Like the barcode stuff and everything?
Not necessarily the barcode, but like the weird kind of style where everything sort of has these weird hexagons.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know? But,
Also, apparently, this Xbox also has, like, Halo sounds. Because, like, what? The new Xboxes, like the PS2, they make sounds when you push because they're not actual buttons. So they make, like, a little beep or something.
Like that,
so I guess it's, like, Halo sounds.
I hate these not real buttons business. Yeah.
Were you pointing at something a minute ago?
No, that's okay. Keep going.
Okay. Neil Patrick Harris is going to be, the amazing Spider-Man in the upcoming Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
That's actually a really good fit now that I think about it.
No, he did it before.
When?
In one of the cartoons. That's why he's doing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have to say, that sounds
right. It's all returning actors, because Josh Keaton is Ultimate Spider-Man, Christopher Daniel Barnes is Noir Spider-Man, and Dan Gilson is 2099 Spider-Man.
Are you satisfied with the Spider-Mans that they picked?
Yeah. I don't know the other three as well, but...
You know the other... Like, are you familiar...
Oh, you mean like the
timeline,
the Spider-Man's?
Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think
I'm trying to think. The zombie Spider-Man. Also, there's also a Marvel timeline where it was like a weird like fantasy Marvel timeline. That
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there are like unlockable costumes that don't directly tie to the story, too. But yeah, I hope that game's good. We've been doing a good Spider-Man game for a very long time.
Spider-Man 2 is the last great one.
Yeah.
But
Space Combat's coming to Knights of the Old Republic. The Old Republic. They already said, like, you'd get ships almost like as player housing, but there will be space combat in the game as well.
And I hope it's cool.
This game keeps sounding better.
They need to have some... There needs to be really cool customization options for your
ship. I'll tell you what, though. You know how people are always clamoring for a new X-Wing game?
Yeah.
They need to go play the Jump to Lightspeed expansion for Star Wars Galaxies, because that's what it is.
Well, the problem
is it really is. I know, that's the problem.
The tree falls down in the wood.
Okay, so here's some more Street Fighter stuff out of Comic-Con.
A lot.
I know.
Isn't it weird, like, Street Fighter, man?
Well, Street Fighter 4 really revitalized the franchise and fighting games in general.
Revitalized the genre.
Yeah.
But this is exciting to
me. Yeah, so first they announced Street Fighter 3 Third Strike Online Edition. They haven't said where it's coming. I assume it's going to be a downloadable for XBLA and PSN.
Third Strike is fantastic. I've been playing it a lot recently, actually, because one of my friends, like, busted it out.
Hmm.
It's a very beautiful sprite game.
Cool.
Plus, it has a lot of characters that aren't in a lot of the other Street Fighter games. Now, this...
The surprise. Not one, but two games announced. Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Can we say Street Fighter versus Tekken?
No. And Tekken Cross Street Fighter.
I'm not going to say that, ever. Okay, fine. I just want you to know. You can anyway. Go ahead, but I will never say Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Anyway, it's just what it sounds like. It's just, you know, it's a mashup game, kind of in the line of the Versus series. But the Street Fighter Cross Tekken plays like a Street Fighter game. Tekken Cross Street Fighter plays like a Tekken game. And they're two completely separate products.
It's exactly what they did for Capcom versus SNK.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Couple thoughts. Mm-hmm. A few thoughts. Okay, my brother says, but I don't want to poo-poo on the game, but I do want to say that I never got into Tekken, so
yeah,
my personal excitement for this project, not that high, but a lot of people are really excited about it, you know, that's fine. I just never got into Tekken.
Right.
You know what Tekken primarily was for me? I remember Tekken Tag Tournament on the PS2. I remember using that as my big, like, reason for why Dreamcast was better than PS2. That was not a great arcade port.
No.
Besides that,
Tekken is that place where Yoshimitsu came from.
Now, I think it's fair to say we're going to be getting Street Fighter versus Tekken first. Or Cross
Tekken.
Well,
I don't know. They didn't say... The only hints
they gave... You don't release them both at the same time, because then you're competing with yourself. So I think...
Man. The only hints they gave to release is it'll be after MVC 3.
Okay. See, it's also weird that they would announce that while, like, the hype machine is so fully going on Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I guess they want to keep it alive.
But, it's... Like, how do you... Okay, Street Fighter with Tekken characters, that makes sense to me. But Tekken with Street Fighter characters, how do you do that?
I don't know.
Because Street Fighter, Tekken, as far as I know, does not have a lot of projectiles.
Yeah, it's more of a technical fighting game.
Right. It's a strange mashup to me.
I'm sure they'll figure something out.
Slightly disappointed it's not just Capcom versus Namco.
Yeah, that would have been, because then you could add Soul Calibur.
But
yeah,
I do like Soul Calibur, and you could have, you know, gotten really crazy with it. But I guess that might be a bit too much impeding on Marvel vs. Capcom territory, right, where it's kind of like a silly mashup.
Yeah, yeah.
Nonsensical and all that. All right.
So THQ is blaming Red Dead Redemption for the lower UFC 2010
sales. I don't even get this, because UFC 2010's been selling pretty well. I mean,
yeah, it's just,
I know it's worse than last year, but...
Well, here's the thing you have to remember, too. I mean, when you introduce a yearly franchise, you're going to have inflated sales, because there is no previous version. The next year, it's just like every Madden. Not everyone buys Madden every year. Some people do. And some people are going to buy every UFC game, and some people are going to go like every other year. I think they just need to relax.
But this is bullshit.
It sold 2.6 million units.
Right.
My God, what do you want?
And this whole, like, oh, well, it's because Red Dead Redemption came out. That is such bullshit. Yeah.
The cowboy game interfered with a UFC fighting game. Like,
people buy more than one game in, like, a month.
Yeah.
Also, like, are you just going to assume when you release a game, well, nothing good will be coming out this month, so we don't have to worry about competition?
Yeah.
That's retarded.
Yes. And the final story I have is that there will be a prequel comic to Epic Mickey called Tales from the Wasteland.
Hooray.
I know. They're also going to do a graphic novel that's a retelling of the game's plot.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if Mickey will talk in that.
I don't know. I'm very excited, though.
I hope they get Don Rosa to do it.
It is, no, it's Peter David.
Don Rosa did, Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck.
Okay.
All right,
So yeah, that's my news.
Good. What's new news? All right, then, let's get going with these, get no quiz, like I said, so you pass. You get a
yes.
Freebie for coming back in one piece through treacherous Canada.
Yes.
I heard, don't you know that Mark's from there?
Really?
Yeah, Mark and Leonard from there.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go topical. I just kind of needed AJ Ketchup. I want to know what you think of some of the things
I've missed.
Did you follow?
I did a pretty impressive job, I think, considering I was in the middle of nowhere.
Right. All right. So, you know, it's interesting because with the smartphones, and that's not a problem, you know, anymore.
Well, I had no cell servers in Canada, though.
Oh.
I had to basically get on Wi-Fi wherever I could and fire up my iPad.
Yeah, still, though, exactly. You can still do that. I remember back in the day, like, even when we went to Disney World,
he just... shut off. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
It was kind of nice in a way, because it was just like, man, I don't even... It was like... Oh, sorry. But it was like...
It was nice.
But you had no idea what was going on. I remember the one... there was like the one internet cafe thing in Disney World we go to, and it'd be like... I would be like, give me that internet!
GameSpy!
I gotta go to GameSpy Daily. That was before we had the blogs to tell us, and he's like, what has been happening. Alright, anyways. What do you think of Mega Man Universe?
I'm excited.
You see the trailer?
The trailer doesn't really tell you anything. From what I academically understand, it's basically going to be like another 8-bit Mega Man game that's kind of a cross between that and Little Big Planet.
I feel like it's going to be, it's going to be a 2D Mega Man game where I think the big draw is that you get to choose your character in a way.
But it may sound like you even make your own.
Maybe. It probably is going to be a level creator. Yeah, I think it is going to be kind of like that. I think Mega Man...
A little bit of drawn to life throwing.
Yeah, because there's a whole point, you can be the 8-bit Mega Man, you can be that Mega Man from the box art Mega 1.
I saw that, it was like, her.
Or you can be Ryu or Arthur. Just kind of... I think it's a neat idea, actually.
Yes.
This is kind of exactly what I was kind of sort of calling for, except...
Still 8-bit.
Right, except not 8... Well, I don't even know if it's an 8-bit, but it's...
Then, yes, I liked all the people who try to get real crazy interpretation, it's going to use the Kinect to place Mega Man in your living room. I was like,
whoa.
That'd be cool, but it's not going to be like that.
Yeah, how about no?
But no.
I'm glad it's not an MMO.
Yeah, that is very true.
What do you think of Dragon Age 2?
At first, I was like, only because I was worried it was making it too much like Mass Effect 2, and I was like, that's why I have Mass Effect 2.
Right. A lot of people are saying, well, Mass Effect 2 is awesome. I'm like, yeah, but Dragon Age was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah, let's not poo-poo it. From what I understand, I guess it's playable at Comic-Con right now. I haven't seen video or anything that's come out. But the console version is going to be more fast-paced, but the PC version is going to play more strategically.
What I'm worried about is this console version difference, because... I was fine with the way Dragon Age played on Xbox.
I know.
Maybe I'm in a minority there. I had no problems with that.
Yeah,
really.
Me neither.
But apparently now it's literally
if anything,
I don't want to say button masher, but it sounded like, well, you have one attack map to this button and this button, and they respond really fast. I'm like, okay.
It just sounds to me like I'm going to end up buying both versions.
I think, and the thing that really worried me is my save file is on the 360.
Yeah.
And I heard someone say.
You can still bring your save file, so all the events from the first game or what happened.
No, I heard that you can just completely transfer your save file now, maybe across platforms. I don't know how that
really
works.
Well,
that's what I
heard.
Well,
maybe it can go on to this whole EA Online infrastructure they have now.
Maybe, but I hope so.
Did you hear how they're kind of doing the narrative in this though? It's really cool.
Go ahead.
What it is there's actually this hot guy is not per se the main character. There's two characters in the present, quote unquote. Who are trying to, for whatever reason, they need to figure out what happened to this Hawk guy. So they're going around getting pieces of the story, but as all legends, some of it kind of gets wrong or exaggerated or something
Wait.
So you're essentially playing flashbacks.
Wait, is that Citizen Kane?
Kind of. Yeah, I guess so.
It's Citizen Kane?
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's why, you can have all this crazy stuff, you single-handedly kill a dragon. That may not be what actually happened, but the person telling the story is saying it.
That's pretty high concept, I guess.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think
it's cool.
If they can manage it well. I guess I'm just a little... But it's going to be sad to lose the origins.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was...
Well, how many times did you play it?
I like the idea that me and you at the end of it had such different experiences.
Even still, take Mass Effect 2. It doesn't have different origins. We're having pretty different experiences in that, too.
Not as different.
Yeah.
I would argue we've had probably pretty similar experiences in Mass Effect 2.
What's the other thing I was going to say? The other thing I'm worried about, I like that they're using the wheel dialogue system, from Mass Effect, but they're doing Alpha Protocol, where instead of having a paraphrasal of what you're going to say, it's just an emotion. I don't know that, because people complained about that in Alpha Protocol, because you just kept picking the same thing all the time.
Right, I don't like dialogue trees in disguise. If you give me a dialogue tree, fine. I don't mind being able to see everything I'm going to say before you say it. I still don't really think, Mass Effect's dialogue and what a circle thing is, all that a big deal as some people make it out to be.
Right.
I think it's nice for...
Flow.
It's nice for flow on, just because, okay, this makes sense.
Well, it just keeps the conversation going. There's not that weird pause while, hang on, let me think about this.
I guess so, but, still, it's not like... You're still very aware that you're in a game doing a dialogue tree,
yes.
Though. It doesn't completely solve the whole immersion problem. All right. What do you think of Obsidian possibly doing a Chrono Trigger sequel?
It's not like this is anything close to happening.
I know, but...
This is no different than me saying, I'd like to make a Chrono Trigger sequel.
They said they talked to them.
Did they really?
They said,
I missed that part.
Maybe, I think they did, anyways.
Well, okay. Why the fuck not? They've made sequels to everything else.
Because it might be terrible.
Yeah, it probably will be terrible.
I don't know
what they could bring to the table. I mean, that's like a quintessential JRPG. And they don't make JRPGs.
I have a lot.
This is like the company that makes Brothers in Arms wanting to make a new Samba de Amigo.
There are a lot of Obsidian apologists. I don't want to say apologists. That sounds kind of... fans. And I understand that they did some great things back in the day, but I don't like their recent track record. I don't.
Yeah, they haven't really anything
outstanding. I'm sorry. Since KOTOR 2.
Yeah.
It seems like when they're not working with their own... with, like, somebody else's assets and basic plan, like with Alpha Protocol, I don't know. Things don't...
Yeah.
I would... I'm going to go on and say I would hate this idea. I'm sorry.
It shouldn't happen.
I don't want to see Chrono Trigger as a Western RPG ever.
At this point, Chrono Trigger doesn't need a sequel. It's done. It's over.
You know, people need to let go of that, I think, a little bit. I think we need to accept that Chrono Trigger was what it was. It was great. We don't need Chrono whatever.
Right.
Which would have nothing. What would even... I mean, it's not going to have the characters. You know they won't do that. So what's even the point?
Yeah.
All right. Do you plan on getting StarCraft 2? StarCraft 2 comes out Tuesday.
I have my collector's edition pre-ordered. If I wasn't here with you, I'd be at a midnight sale Monday night.
I feel like I'm, like, just not in...
Did you... Okay, I was just like, yeah, I'm getting it because it's a Blizzard game and their games are always good. And I like StarCraft. Did you see the new trailer?
Isn't it just CG?
It is.
No, listen, their CG is amazing. And I'm not even going to say, like, but I don't want the game, because their CG actually is so good that I almost would get the game for it. Because you see the TV spot they have? You probably haven't seen much TV.
No.
But the TV spot is all clips from their CG, and it's just...
Well, this trailer, it's like the story trailer.
Okay.
Because the story in StarCraft is really good. And if this was a movie, it'd be amazing, but it's a game. That's good, too. Basically, I'm super stoked now, having seen that. What I like about this game, like, I'll play multiplayer just like I played before, but I suck at it. I know I suck at it, and I'm never going to get that much better. But what I like is they've said, in the single player, it's completely different balance, there's different units that aren't there, and they said, we don't care. Be overpowered in single player. Have fun with it. We just want that to be a good ride. And we'll let multiplayer...
See, I feel like I'm just so weird, because I feel like I would almost prefer to play the single player.
That's my preference, and that's what I'm going to do.
I guess. See, now... Now you have me, like, kind of like...
Oh, have you seen this trailer?
No, I'm sure.
Okay, we'll watch this trailer after we're done.
The problem is, if I want this game, because Blizzard's collector's editions are so good, I would want that collector's edition.
I'm getting...
Let me burn the soundtrack from you, please.
Okay.
Are you apathetic towards Infamous 2?
Yeah.
Infamous 1 was not as sweet as I thought it was going to be.
Infamous was a game that I initially was super gung-ho about. I went around the entire island, I 100%ed it, I did everything. No, like, the beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But then as soon as I got to the second island, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just completed an entire island. So I don't need to do this again.
Do you not have faith that they're going to fix the problems with it in the sequel?
I don't know. I guess I don't know enough.
Just so apathetic.
I'll tell you what game I'm apathetic towards is Crackdown 2.
Well, yeah, you kind of missed that whole release and, like, following sort of apathy, I guess. You're just kind of nodding at me.
Yes. you said this with Mark, and to an extent it is true. It's just, after Red Dead and seeing what an open-world game really is capable of being, I'm not saying that, like, they need to emulate this, but they at least need to expand on their own ideas. I haven't seen enough to make me think Infamous 2 is going to be that different outside of some new powers.
Right.
I don't know.
I guess it's fair enough. It's... I still don't know. I don't know about Infamous 2.
Yeah.
So, while you were gone, what game did you miss the most?
Like, that I couldn't play?
That you couldn't play.
It's a toss between Mass Effect 2 and Red Dead Redemption.
Not Mario?
No.
No.
Mario's really good, but still, I mean, it is a continuation of the experience that I had in Galaxy. I played a lot of Galaxy 2 before I left, and it's not like a game that I'm, like, jonesing to play and I sit down for 6 hours. I play, like, a couple stars here and there.
Okay.
Like, that's a game that's going to last me a long time.
Well, Mass Effect 2 is going to last you a long time just because you're slow.
Yeah, I know. Well, after Friday, I find myself completely unemployed, so I'll have some time.
Hooray!
Yes. That's about it. I also, GameFly shipped my rental copy of Alan Wake that came in while I'm gone, so I'm going to get to that. I've been excited to play that for a very long time.
I kind of forgot about Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Even though, like, some people have been telling me really, really, really good things about it.
Yeah.
I guess I do have to play that. I feel obligated to. I feel like we've been talking a lot longer than 35 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, seriously.
I just want to throw that out there, but...
Let's get to our week in gaming.
I beat Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker.
Oh, yeah? How was it? You sound very dry to it.
Well, I wanted to say that because there's, like, an extra mission or extra chapter after that I have to go through now.
Hmm.
I say have. I have very mixed feelings on it.
Yeah.
Because
it seems like one of those games, when it's good, and when it's bad, it's bad.
Because the stealth things work very well in it. And mm-hmm. the whole sneaking up by people, doing the trank shots to their head, game behind them, doing a hold-up, that all works great. That all works fine. The controls have been not pretty well. But when the game wants it to be an action game,
mm-hmm.
it just falls apart. Like, there's one chapter where, like, you don't have the alert status. Everyone knows you're there. You have to fight your way through people. I just about wanted to shoot myself.
That's a terrible idea.
It was just... Exactly. I just, like, this is, like... It was hard. And it wasn't hard because necessarily, you know, it's hard, but it's just...
You're fighting the controls.
Right. I'm fighting the controls, and it's just... You, all of a sudden, you realize how clunky everything really is.
Yeah.
And... And the bosses kind of suffer from the same thing.
Right.
I hit better once I realized that one of the suits let me carry an extra weapon.
Oh, that's good.
Because basically, one time I just ran out of ammo during a boss fight. And, like, the way ammo works is, like, you have so much ammo, and you have, like, markers you can set to have them
drop
more ammo for you. But I ran out of drops, even. I was just like... Okay. And you have, like, very little health left. I was just very frustrated.
Yeah.
And, like, the cool story parts are, like, kind of buried in these, audio log things you have to, like, find separately.
Oh, good.
Like, there's this whole giant thing that's talking about the boss's, like, time spent with NASA. And it's this giant, huge thing, and it's all told through voice, and it's really interesting. And you, like, could just never, ever have to, like, deal with it ever.
Hmm. Weird.
So it's interesting like that. I hate the micromanagement stuff still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having fun with it. Like I said, mixed feelings. Like I can't talk about the game without sighing. Kind of like just a kind of, I don't want to say squandered opportunity, but maybe there was more there than what they got.
Hmm.
I don't know. But besides that,
do you think part of it was a misperception because they were like, it's basically Metal Gear Solid 5, and like you were kind of expecting that?
I think I was expecting Metal Gear Solid 5.
Like they would have just said, this is just a neat spinoff of Metal Gear for the PSP.
I think I was expecting it to be a bit less like reusing of assets and mission structure than it was. And part of that's me, because I didn't research the game all that well because I was kind of in the dark about it. But yeah, I guess so. I guess I kind of was expecting, because it's kind of weird to come to terms with, like, wow, they got all these voice actors back, and it's like another Metal Gear story, and then it's like, it's just not what you would think it would be. It's just not as big a deal. And, like, you know, not even just the fact that, you know, it's, you know, Peace Walker came out, and who cared?
Right.
Not that many.
Not me.
It didn't sell very well.
Well, it's also on the PSP.
Right. Unless, at what point are these people going to be fed up doing these giant projects on the PSP?
Especially once the 3DS comes out.
Right. It's sad that I'm more excited for, like, basically just the port of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah.
So that's my problem. Metal Gear Solid 3 is one of my favorite games ever.
Right.
It's so if you're going to be like, this is the follow-up to Metal Gear Solid 3, I'm going to have very high expectations. Yeah. So, you know, I will be a little harsh. But besides, I haven't played Limbo yet. I have it.
Yeah, I want to play Limbo and Deathspank are on my high my list of things to do.
I was confused. Like, why didn't they start the Summer Arcade 2 weeks early and include Monkey Island and Death's Bank?
They only do it with things that are exclusive to 360.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. A lot of the Warcraft beta. Yeah. I played a lot of that. I realized, because I just, you know, you've been gone. To my mind, I got the beta. I've been in it for a week or so. I've been in it since you left. I've been in it for a month.
Yeah.
I've been playing it a lot. Perhaps too much for the beta.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, even just the stupid things like, oh, dwarves could be shamans now. I
had
to roll that.
My mind when you told me that. I'm like, what's the lore justification for that?
I forget, but it's not as shaky for the lore as the lore justification for goblins being shamans. That's just weird to me.
Oh, brother. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
They have to think, like, well, the goblins don't, like, the goblins, like, bargain with the spirits. Like, okay. Like, all right, Blizzard. One of my favorite things, though, is the warrior trainer for goblins throughout, like, the entire starting area. It's, like, this, like, weird, like, robot thing.
Cool.
You have to see it. It's almost like a cardboard cutout robot thing. And he's the warrior trainer.
That's
he's
awesome.
Like called the warrior trainer Otron or something. Like that. Like he's like, he's always there. It's hilarious.
That's cool.
No, you have to try those starting areas. The starting areas are still amazing. I did.
Does the beta have the new starting areas for gnomes and trolls?
No, not yet. They don't have that yet.
Dying for that.
All the starting areas have been, like, updated a bit, though. They're cool. Usually in the same areas, but the quests have been kind of updated. Well, you know what they do a lot?
Good.
The main thing that they do a lot less of is, let's say in old, like, let's say 2004 World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
There would be, like, a base of enemies, right?
Mm-hmm.
There would be one guy there.
Mm-hmm.
He'd give you a quest. You go fight those enemies. You come back. Then that guy's like, okay, now go back there and collect me so many of this from there. So you go back, you do that, you come back, and he's like, now go kill, like, this one guy from there.
Yeah.
Now, you find, like, like the camp of, like, the NPCs. They'll give you three or four quests. You go into the area, you do them all, you come back, and you're done with it.
That's good.
It's just a lot streamlined, a lot faster.
That's good. See, I'm so excited for this expansion, because, like, I would be able to access content from it right from the get-go.
It really is. Most of the content really is for level 1 through 60.
That's awesome.
Well, and, you know, a lot of the endgame stuff is really nice. I did all of Hyjal.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Hyjal's sweet.
Cool.
And I did like underwater area, and I did. I went to Deepholm. Going to Deepholm is awesome because you're standing on a rock in the middle of what do they call the giant whirlpool in the middle of the world map?
The maelstrom.
The maelstrom. You're standing there, the main orc guy, Thrall.
Thrall.
Thrall is there. They trying to control it. You talk to him. You like ride a griffin into the maelstrom.
Nice.
It's pretty epic. And then you're in Deepholm, which is like this weird elemental plane.
Cool.
But so my favorite things by far are the new starting areas. They're really cool.
Cool.
I plan on getting Dragon Quest IX. Maybe even today. You want to get Dragon Quest IX?
Yeah, I'm strangely intrigued by it.
I'm gonna go get some games of trade, I think.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go get Dragon Quest IX. That's kind of one of my things is, since Dragon Quest IX, like, Persona 3 Portable came out, I'm like, I want to play these. Well, I'll be finishing Metal Gear Solid soon, I'm sure, and I don't. It keeps going on and on.
Mm-hmm.
What did you play, then?
1-2 Special Edition.
Oh, okay.
I got that on Steam.
Oh.
It's awesome.
How far did you get?
Not very. I've only gotten to play little chunks. I'm getting the parts for the Voodoo Doll.
Right.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
I still think that the backgrounds look better than the character models. I don't really like... I love everything. Here's some things I don't like. I don't like Guybrush's model.
You're
I don't like
this.
The CMI-ification.
I do like it. I don't know why. I like it.
I liked the idea that Guybrush always looked different in the games.
Like the kids in the vacation movies?
Yes. It was like one of the jokes. They never looked the same. Even the fourth one, it looked different. And then kind of starting with Tails Monkey Island, now this, they just kind of like, no, he's tall and lanky. That's his thing now. I guess there's benefits from that and drawbacks.
And I don't like you were saying 2 weeks ago about how you didn't think the music transitions were as good. I actually thought they were really good.
No, I didn't say I thought they were as good. I was saying that's what one person was complaining about.
Oh, well, he
wrote it up. Well, he claims, he said that scum doesn't exist in it. I mean, not scum, I mean iMuse.
Yeah, it does.
That's what he said it does.
You could listen to it. You could hear the transitions.
He claims it's not there.
I noticed it, and I was like, oh, they got that right, yes.
I mean, I never noticed a problem with it personally.
Yeah.
I wasn't complaining about that. But that's the guy at 1UP, like, gave the game a C because of that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Who was it?
I can't remember.
Screw that guy. It's great.
Also, who's the guy that does all their RPGs?
Jeremy Parrish.
Yeah. He gave Dragon Quest a A, whatever.
Oh, no.
I know. Shocking.
Anyway, I also, they have it on the iPad. I got, like, the free version just to see what it looked like, and it looks freaking cool.
We're talking about, oh, really?
Of Monkey Island 2.
They have that on the iPad?
Yeah.
Why didn't you get it on the iPad?
I didn't know it was on the iPad. I pre-ordered it on Steam a month ago. Well,
okay.
A month and a half ago.
That's pretty cool.
Because I got the original special edition for free with my pre-order, too, so I was like, all right.
What do you think of some of the voices from characters we haven't heard from before?
I
don't like Largo's voice. That's not what I pictured Largo.
Yeah, I always pictured him being... I don't know what I pictured him being more like.
I think I pictured being a bit more screechy, actually.
Well, there was that joke about Monkey Island 5 happening a while ago where Dominic Armato recorded something that was Largo.
I like that Largo.
Yeah, I think that's...
I don't like...
I think that just immediately went into our heads. We're like, that's what Largo sounds like.
I think it was just a little deep for me for Largo.
Yeah.
But I like that the bartender, the Bloody Lip, was basically Ralph from The Muppets.
Yeah. It's all ahead.
And they got Wally back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. It's, oh, no. It's phenomenal.
Monkey Island 2 is a classic.
Yeah.
Probably the second best adventure game ever. Behind only Grim Fandango.
Yeah. So. It's phenomenal.
Right.
Let's see. I've got... You ever heard of a game called Osmos?
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know if
it's an indie PC game that they brought on the iPad. It's kind of like a flow sort of thing, like eat the bigger things or the smaller things, avoid the bigger things. But it's got some like this weird physics system to it. It's hard to describe. Like, basically, to propel yourself, you eject little pieces of yourself. So if you try to move too fast, too quickly, you shrink yourself too small, and you screw yourself over. And a lot of the levels are basically a puzzle on how you're going to navigate to eat what you need to eat and do what you need to do. On the iPad, it's pretty damn near perfect. Like, it controls so well, and you just use, you know, pinch to zoom, tap in the direction you want to shoot out yourself so you can propel. It's really cool.
That reminds me, what do you think of Darkspore?
I saw that trailer. That's kind of a neat idea. We literally know nothing about it, but okay.
I like Spore.
I like this concept of Spore. The gameplay itself didn't last as long as I wanted it to.
Is it kind of funny that a game could be like Game of the Year E3 for like 3 years and then like...
come out and underwhelm everybody?
Right.
Yeah.
Scribblenauts did that too, I guess.
Oh, God, what else I play? There's a couple iPad games. Stick Golf.
Yeah, you don't have to do a lot of detail about Stick Golf.
I don't think you're too worried about these.
I am not... greatly concerned.
GameLoft is giving away Let's Golf for the Android platform for free. It's basically Hot Shots Golf. It's really good.
Golf.
I knew you were going to do that.
Put on your golf shoes and golf. Golf.
God.
Let's golf.
Anywho, let's see. Did I play anything else, really? No. That's about it.
I did a little Dungeons & Dragons campaign last night.
I know. We're going to play tomorrow. I'm so excited. I've been trying to get you to play D&D for like 4 years, and they're friend of yours. It's like,
who? You wanted me to play D&D, but with who?
I suggested him as another person to play with.
I didn't think he'd be into it. But hey, he's all into it. All
right,
my character is Bartholomew ShamWow.
I haven't decided. I'm going to do a player we're going to roll with later today.
I'm trying to do my character like he's very kind of stoic. Almost comically so. Is the way I want to do it. It's hard to know if I get to roleplay that, but I'm gonna try it out.
So yeah,
let's see what it releases.
Okay,
StarCraft 2 is coming out.
Yay!
Wings of Liberty. What's the next one called?
They showed the name. They showed all the
names. Zerg's next, right?
Yes.
Why are humans always the first campaign? You notice that?
Well, it'll make sense when you see this trailer. It looks really cool.
Need for Speed World, which is like the online
free to play, yeah.
Commander Conquest of the Americas PC, Arkrise Fantasia for the Wii. I saw a clip of the voice acting in this game. Oh God,
this is from it's people who worked on the Tales series.
Well, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks a lot like that, but oh my, the
it
voice...
comes from Ignition Entertainment. I know Shane Bettenhausen was talking about it on a previous Weekend Confirmed.
What did he say about it?
Well, of course he likes it. It's from his company.
Oh, well.
He's like, it's a very classic JRPG, and there's nothing else like this on the console, and it's really good if you like Final Fantasy VII, and I was like, okay.
Well, the trailer that I saw was not very flattering at all.
Oh.
Like, there's no way those were professional voice actors. Blaze Blue Continuum Shift for 360 and PS3. That's kind of exciting. I really liked Blaze Blue. Clash of the Titans for PS3, 360. Somebody missed the release date.
Yeah.
Track Mania for the Wii.
Oh, man. Pete's excited.
Hydro Thunder Hurricane.
Yes!
360.
Oh, I played that at PAX. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, well, Chuck E. Cheese's Party Games for the Wii.
Yoo-hoo!
Galaxy Racers for the Nintendo DS.
Oh, man.
Samantha Swift in the Hidden Roses of Athena. Samantha Swift in the Crypt of the Unknown Fowl. Guess what the name of this episode is going to be? Farm Frenzy Animal Country. Okay.
Okay. That's it.
All right. All right, everyone. I guess that's it.
Yeah. We came in about 50 minutes there.
I'm going to kind of... once you add the music and everything, yeah. We'll be at 50 minutes.
Sure.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
Twitter.com/explodingbarrel and the iTunes Music Store and Zoom Marketplace.
Correcto mundo.
Yes, yeah, I remember all this.
Yes. Glad to have you back, guy.
No, thank you.
We're not going to be Subway again soon, are we? I feel like we've done two episodes together in the last, like three months.
Yeah, it's been a crazy summer.
For a while.
Yeah, right? I think we got a good chunk of time now.
All right.
So, yes, good times had by all.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you here next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye.